Thank you. Wow. This is the last talk for the month of May. We made it. Yay. Yeah, clap for that, really. Woohoo! We got through a whole month on talking about spiritual laws in action. Spiritual laws in action. We started the first Monday with obeying the first Sunday with obeying the law, and then the next week it was breaking the law, right? We did that. We talked about breaking the law. Last week, Gina Walker was our guest speaker, and she spoke about heart leading the way, right? Head, heart, remember, gut, and everything had to be aligned. Who was here for that talk last week? It was really good. It was really good. And I'm sitting in the front row, and I'm like, that's really good. That's really a good talk. That's really, really a great talk. Oh my God, she's giving my talk for next week. So I went home and I threw everything away. Anyway, today's talk is aligning with the law, right? Aligning with the law. So yeah, she did talk about aligning with the word. So yeah, so I just had to get rid of all that stuff. Anyway, so we're discussing the law all month. And Ernest Holmes said that, you know, if he had to change anything about his ministry, you know, he was asked in retrospect, if you were going to change anything about your ministry, what would you have done differently? And he said he would have talked less about the law and more about the love. But he thought people already knew about love. Isn't that funny? Anyway, he spoke at length about the law because he wanted people to understand that's the way life gets to be the way it is. And in Love and Law, he says this. He says, this causeless cause, he's talking about first cause. This causeless cause, that which is without any reason for being, except that it is, that's about all we know about it. Speak the word, and the word becomes the concept or the law, which produces the thing. That's the way everything comes into being. Without the word, nothing would happen. But without intelligence, there could be no word. So the beginning of everything is intelligence. Causeless intelligence, that would be the thing itself. Limitless causation. And it begins to speak. Now we have the infinite one manifesting itself into manifestation of ideas. So that's the entire teaching symbol right there in one little paragraph, right? The thing itself, what it does, how it does what it does, and what is the result, right? The word is spoken into the law. The law goes into production, and it produces that thing into manifestation. And we are some part of that infinite idea in form. Since spirit made everything else out of itself, made everything out of itself, then we are some part of that life. We are some part of that energy, which is spirit. Spirit thought and continues to think things into form, into manifestation, through the activity of the law. So the law is the servant of the word. The law doesn't question. The law doesn't ask you if you're worthy. The law doesn't do anything, but it just goes into production based on the word. And since we are manifestations of that first cause, we manifest our lives accordingly. Make sense? Using the divine creative process, the teaching symbol that Ernest Holmes said. So in order to change our lives, we have to change our word. You see how you have to go back up that chain of manifestation? Because the last link in the chain of manifestation is the physical world. It's the last place things show up. They begin in the word. And again, from Love and Law, he said, we have been given the ability to choose the word we speak. And therein lies our own limitation. It's simply a misuse of the divine nature, an abuse of it, he says, an abuse of it. The lack of knowing that our word is cause, the ignorance that has caused us to speak a negative word. And because the word is the concept, and the concept is the thing, and the thing is the word itself, that word creates that negative condition. See how it's all connected, right? Then he goes on to say, to change the negative condition, I have got to use a different word. But I use the same cause, the same intelligence, and I speak my different word into it. Right? Change your thinking, change your life. So, you know, Ernest Holmes, his whole ministry said, there's a power for good in the universe, and we can use it. That's what he has said, his whole ministry. There is a power for good in the universe, and we can use it. His whole ministry, he stayed consistent with that word. We are surrounded by a presence. We are surrounded by a power. It responds to our thoughts, and it outpictures according to our most predominant beliefs. That's what he said. Our most predominant beliefs, backed by feelings and emotions. So this goes back to alignment and what Gina was talking about last week, right? The beliefs backed by those thoughts and emotions. You have the word, you have the intelligence, you have the thought, but it is backed by the feelings, it is backed by the emotions, the heart, and then the gut. It's all in alignment. And when it is all in alignment, what happens? We become our prayer. We become our prayer. It all goes back to being in alignment. When our thoughts, backed by our feelings and emotions, are in alignment, head, heart, and gut, we become our prayer. And this is really the basis of Science of Mind and Spirit. It's simple. Ernest Holmes said that always, right? It's a simple teaching. It's simple. It may not be easy a lot of times. It may be very challenging a lot of times, but it's simple. It is love points the way. Always. What would love do? That's our question all the time. What would love do? Love points the way. Law, that unquestioning servant of the word, law makes the way possible. Law does the manifesting. So law is the doer. It's not the knower, right? It is just the thing that begins to outpicture. When we know what we know, without fear, without doubt, without distrust, then we take the reins off spirit and we allow it to manifest through our lives, just unrestrained. And it manifests for us our highest and best intentions. When we are single-minded, when we're single-focused and not doing the either-or thing, oh, do I deserve it? Am I good enough? Oh, you know, all that stuff. When we are single-focused and we work through the doubt and we work through the fear and we work through the distrust and we know exactly how we are and what we are directing the law to do, it does. Ernest Holmes said this, there is but one subjective mind, and what we call our subjective mind is really the use we are making of the one law. One law. Each individual maintains his identity in the law through our personal use of it, and each is drawing from life what he thinks into it. One law. One. There is the love that points the way, there is the law that makes possible, and then there is the manifestation in the physical world, right? The teaching symbol again comes down to manifestation. We make personal use of that law. We personalize it by our own intentions, by our own thoughts, our own likes and desires. We are the ones that personalize it, and it outpictures according to our most predominant beliefs. We find that in this philosophy, the science of mind, Ernest Holmes said this. He said it is a correlation of the laws of science, the opinions of philosophy, and the revelations of religion applied to human needs and aspirations of humanity. That's this philosophy. That's its reason for being, so that we can grow and expand and become more of our authentic selves, what spirit knows of us. That's it. That's this study. So we begin this vision quest. We come to a center like this, or we come to a teaching like this. We begin the vision quest of our lives, and we dig in, and we read everything, don't we? We read everything we can get our hands on regarding the love and the law, and we get so confused. You know, there's so much out there. You know, we read about the law of cause and effect. There's a law. There are all kinds of spiritual laws, right? We read about the law of cause and effect. We reap what we sow, called karma. Every action generates a force of energy, and that energy returns to us in kind. Okay, then there's the law of attraction. We read about that all the time. I think they made a movie about that, didn't they? I don't know. Anyway, what we give our thought to, we invite into our experience. What about the law of reciprocity? That's another law, also known as the law of sowing and reaping. Allows us to receive as a result of what we give or we do. How about the law of polarity? See, we can get really, really into this. We're going down the rabbit hole, folks. The law of polarity. Absolutely everything has an opposite, and that its very existence allows us to understand our life. How about the law of inspired action? There's books about that too. The law of inspired action. This one is bound to the law of attraction. They kind of go together. They're a set, like salt and pepper. Inspired action tells us that we must actively pursue our goals, right? This is the move your feet part. Ernest Holmes said, treat, move your feet. This is the move your feet part. Inspired action is know what you want, but then just don't sit there and assume that it's just going to be delivered to your doorstep. You've got to make some changes maybe into your life. You've got to make some movement. You've got to walk toward that goal. There's the law of divine oneness. That starts everything off. The law of divine oneness starts everything off. The foundational law, which says absolutely everything in the universe is interconnected. That's how we can know of each other. That's how we can manifest everything, because that energy, which is us, and everything else in the universe is interconnected. I'm going to just keep going. There's a law of correspondence. The key idea here is that patterns repeat in the universe, you know, like the Fibonacci sequence or things like that. There is a divine pattern in the universe, and we can observe these patterns, and we can look at these repeating patterns in our own lives. How many times have we done that, right? Oh my God, I'm dating the same guy. Different hair color, different name, different age, but it's the same guy, right? It's a repeating pattern, so we can look at those repeating patterns to make changes, to become awake and aware, and then make changes in our lives. There's the law of vibration. Let's talk about the law of vibration. Everything vibrates at a specific energy level, yes? At a specific frequency. High energy is attuned to high energy. So if you want to outpicture bigger and better and higher and wonderful things in your lives, you have to be attuned to the higher energy frequencies. Low energy is attuned to low energy frequencies. We know that. Oh, what else? I know, right? It goes on forever. Sorry. Lock the doors. Nobody's leaving today. There's the law of compensation. You receive what you put out. Now, this is very similar to the law of attraction. Right? The law of compensation. But the focus on this particular law is that compensation can come in many different forms. So you can practice the law of attraction and then you get what you get, come what may, right? Okay, that's the law of compensation. The law of relativity. Now I'm moving into Einstein territory. The law of relativity, that it's everything is neutral in our lives. Everything is neutral when seen in isolation. And it is not no particular person, no experience, no emotion, no action is evaluated as good or bad until we start comparing it to something else. That's the law of relativity. It's not good or bad until we start comparing it to what somebody else has, right? This is the revolution of rising expectations. People in small little towns in Appalachia had no idea that they were poor until they got television. And then all of a sudden they were like, wait, we're poor, you know. It's not until we start comparing with other people, other things, other circumstances, do we then begin to judge our own. Now, those are the top 10. Those are just the top 10. And you can buy books on all of them. And you can watch, you know, webinars and videos and YouTube clips about all of them. And, you know, it just gets you really confused. I don't know. I can go on. There is like tons of them out there. There is the law of request. There's the law of resistance, the law of reflection, the law of projection. There's the law of attachment, the law of attention, the law of flow, the law of abundance, the law of clarity, the law of intention, the law of prosperity, manifestation, the law of success, and on and on and on. And they're all out there. And then at some point, when we're on this exploration of spirituality, we're down the rabbit hole of spiritual laws. Now you don't know what to do. Which one am I supposed to use? How am I supposed to get what I want if I don't even know what law I'm supposed to be using? Ernest Holmes said this: if you wish to be successful, you must identify yourself with success. The law of identity, there's another one. The law of identity is a definite thing. That which you mentally identify yourself sets up an image of thought in your consciousness, which tends to attract the situations with which you mentally identified, the law of attraction, the subjective state of your consciousness, which means the sum total of your unconscious thought processes, is continuously attracting or repelling, law of cause and effect, The process goes on beneath the threshold of consciousness, of conscious mind. The law of divine oneness. There's four laws in that one quote. We can send ourselves on this never-ending quest of understanding, embodying, demonstrating, through the use of law, a greater outpicturing of our life. But if we have to remember all of these laws, determine which ones we need, when to press them into service at different times, and what they're going to do on our behalf, it's like we'll never get anything done. You know, we get caught up in the intellectual process. We get caught up in the mind, and then you see we're all up here in our heads. We're all in our heads. We're trying to figure out which law do we use and what's the best one and how do we get what we, you know, how do we get on that path and down the road? It's kind of like when I learned how to play tennis. John, you play tennis, right? Remember when you had to learn how to play tennis? I remember being on the tennis court and and your coach is telling you all of these things. Everything that you need to do to successfully return the ball and keep it in play. Keep your racket back. Take small steps to the shot. Remember to hold the racket back. Remember to keep your eye on the ball. Remember to keep your knees bent. Take the racket back. Remember, it's got to be perpendicular to the ground. Step into the shot. Remember, through and up. Make sure you finish up over your shoulder. Keep your eye on the ball. All of these rules, all of these laws you have to keep in mind. And meanwhile, the ball is beyond you, you know. By the time you remember all that stuff in the beginning, it's like, forget it. The ball has already sailed past me and hit the wall in the back. Ernest Holmes said we have to keep it simple. He said his philosophy is simple. It is simple. That our thoughts can change our lives. That our thoughts pressed into the law, the servant of the word, is simple. But sometimes it's not easy. But Ernest Holmes said this. He said, prayer by prayer, affirmation by affirmation, and thought by thought, we move mind into alignment with divine reality that exists at the center of our being. Because there's no God out there that's not in here. It's all one energy. So thought by thought, prayer by prayer, affirmation by affirmation, we move into alignment with our own highest and best good. We dispel doubt and unbelief, and we expect miracles. We expect our new thoughts and our new intentions to outpicture, and we keep knowing those new thoughts and those new intentions long after others have faced the facts. Do you ever have people that tell you that? Face the facts? I don't want to face the facts. We hold our intention, and we know the greater good, and we know without doubt and without fear and without unbelief that our most predominant thoughts outpicture. We align our thoughts and our feelings and our beliefs, and again, we become that prayer. We become that prayer. Ernest Holmes, we just stand in it. We just stand in that truth, regardless of the conditions. Don't worry about the name of the law you're using. Because remember, Ernest Holmes said that we individualize it. So we draw from it exactly what we need in order to manifest. It doesn't matter what the name of the law is. The law is the law. And it will personalize itself to our needs and our use of it. Don't be concerned which route the miracle takes to manifest in our lives. Just know that it's working. God knows, and God's knowledge is law, and this law is perfect. And that's really all we need to know. We don't need to know which particular law is going to work on our behalf at whatever moment of the day or in whatever prayer we're praying. We just need to know that it's working. We are the I am in our lives. We must know that our knowledge is law, and we must know that that law is perfect. Ernest Holmes said in Love and Law, he said this, he said, "We will in time come back to find that the word is in our own mouth. We will find that we ourselves individually do our own writing. You are each a law unto yourselves. Become unto yourselves a law of happiness, a law of peace, a law of health, a law of love, a law of life, a law of truth, and a law of beauty. And go forth and radiate that which you feel yourself to be. It is the only salvation that will ever come into this world. You are your own spiritual law in action. Go. Go, be that, transform." Thank you.